Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you for it. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. 7 a.m. or 7:01, depending on what clock you look at. Welcome back in. Good morning. Hello. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
It's hard to get those things running at the same time, man. Yeah, I have that when you have, we had our power randomly went out the other day. Just for like, I don't know, 2 hours out of nowhere. I don't know what the hell happened, but you get the, damn it, this is going to suck. And then eventually it comes back on, but then you got to reset your clocks, like on your stove and all that, on your microphone, or microphone, on your microwave, and you do it. And then I look around and I'm like, one of these is always 1 minute ahead, or I didn't set it at the right time, or I should have gone 1 minute further ahead, and it's driving me nuts. The last 2 weeks, all my clocks have been different.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. A question we can contemplate. One NFL team just announced their team captains. They have 11.
11 team captains. It's a lot.
That seems excessive.
What's a normal number in the NFL?
Five.
I thought four or five at most.
I did too.
Why do you need 11?
Yeah, and you could send different guys out to be a captain for an individual now, game,
yeah,
right? Like for a coin toss,
game,
for a sentimental
thing.
Team
captains in the locker room, there's usually an offense, a defense, a special teams, and then a couple of veteran guys that everybody respects,
sure.
And that's about it.
And the quarterback, usually. I love how we always have to do that. Even for rookie quarterbacks, we make them a captain. Just for the symbolism of it. We can't have our starting quarterback not have a captaincy on his jersey.
I was going to ask a poll question in the first hour, and then I forgot, so I'm going to put it up now at Dirt and Sprague. What will age better, the preseason top 12 dirty pole or Patrick's G-spot?
Ooh. Now, he's off to a rough start. I have not had any sample size yet.
Yeah. He's also going to be doing an update. I think he's making it a...
He's going to do a weekly thing.
A bit, yeah.
It'll be easier probably to do that than the top 12. And we could talk about bringing the dirty pole back in some way during the season.
It's your decision, dude. Whatever you want to do or not do, I'm totally cool rolling with
either. I think we might do it more on a month-to-month basis.
I think that's
like
a better idea.
When the NCAA seeding committee throws out, here's what the top four seeds in each region would look like at this point in the season.
So we avoid the, hey, guess what the top 12 is this week? check out last week's rankings. Nobody lost.
Exactly.
You can just wait till the committee does their first official rankings to do your first official top 12.
If they get to wait till week 12, why don't I get to wait till week 12?
I think the first ones come out right before the Ohio State Oregon game.
I believe so.
It is a Tuesday, which means it's a Mail Sack Tuesday here at 105.1 The Fan, Dirt and Sprague. So get those mail sack questions in at 503-864-6326. Good morning. Welcome into Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. It's always delightful in here.
I'm hungry this morning.
I am too. What do you got for me?
Well, we have the usual menu, but today's special, it's Celebrity Week at the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. And today we're going to start with the Thor, a.k.a. the Chris Hemsworth. His breakfast special when he's on the Thor movies, because he needs to bulk up.
A lot of protein.
4-egg omelet with mushroom and bacon with a side of overnight oats with protein powder and sourdough toast. So if you, too, want to look like Thor, you can eat like Thor.
I think I need to do a few more things. I don't know if the food's just going to get the job done. There might need to be a couple other components.
A personal trainer involved in
follow
there.
Follow up on top of all of that protein and overnight oats.
You need steroids.
Yeah, that would help, yeah.
You got an injection or two.
You got a needle or two? I'm ready, man. My butt's right here.
I love when, Captain America? Is it Chris Evans? I think it's Chris Evans.
Yes. Right in the butt.
I love when he did Captain America and he got turned into Captain America and he was like, dude, I'm going to eat shredded like him. I'm like, oh, you're going to take steroids?
You're going to do steroids too? Is that what you're going
to
do?
You think he just naturally got that big?
6 months period, man. We got to go film the movie in about a couple of months. We're going to get big.
Absolutely ridiculous. It is a loaded Cafe de Dirt and Sprague, a loaded second hour. Let's get it going. We'll start with this one.
3-2. And that is all she wrote. Just an absolutely horrific loss at Fenway Park. And the demons of this place get the Mariners again. 9-8, the Red Sox walk it off in 10 innings.
The Boston Lucy Burges beat the Seattle Mariners in 10 innings. What was heartbreaking about this?
Other than just another loss.
Cal Raleigh hit a home run in the eighth, and the Mariners led 8-5. They led 8-7 in the ninth. Julio Rodriguez running in to play what should have been a routine single, overran it. Ball gets behind him. Leadoff triple and a sack fly allows the tying run to score in the ninth.
Dude, Julio has had a rough go, man. The last couple of weeks have not been kind to that
guy. He overran a sack.
Well,
he
came in late, then he kind of dove, slid, and the ball bounced up over behind him.
Why did he dive?
That's what everybody was asking in the ninth inning on a one-run lead.
If you have that and then you pair that with throwing a ball into the stands when the inning's not over, you're not allowed to win a gold glove for like 3 years.
No.
The ball skipped all the way to the garage door, 420 feet. They were wondering if they were going to wave him in for an inside the Parker, but it was the leadoff guy, so they said,
this is
the tying run, let's hold at third there. We can knock you in.
That's five straight losses for the M's.
And then in the 10th, the Mariners didn't score in the top.
Well, duh. The Red
Sox
won.
So, sack bunt for Boston. Then they walked the bases loaded to get to Trevor Story. It was his first game back from injured list. The Mariners brought in a reliever that had been on the injured list.
The Red Sox scored in the 10th inning.
Yeah.
Order up. That's hammered. Alex Gregman. Nine homers in a game for the Cubs.
Yeah, John Shambi, Marquee Network, absolutely nutso night for Chicago against Milwaukee. Nine homers last night. They ended August with 60 home runs.
It's the most in a month for a National League team in the history of baseball, I believe I read.
Yeah, I believe you are correct on that.
That is a home run record for a team
in one month. Holy crap.
It's crazy stuff.
This is their chance. They play. They have six more with the Brewers in over like the next week and a half.
The Brewers manager's Pat Murphy.
Yeah.
Pat Murphy.
He of the pocket waffle.
Pancake. Pocket pancake.
Oh, okay.
Pat Murphy's great because
waffle sounds better.
When his team's getting shellacked, he doesn't want to waste his pitchers. He will throw positional players. Yeah. I saw it in San Diego. He did it again last night.
Andrew Vaughn came in the seventh.
I love it.
Dude, you're down 12 to nothing or 12, whatever the score is, 12 to 3. Like, the game is over.
The amazing thing was they hit nine home runs. Pete Crow Armstrong did not get one of them.
Well, it's also on top of it. Kyle Harrison was a starter from Milwaukee. He's been really good this year. Like, that's
not a run-of-the-mill
guy just to get roughed up. He's had a hell of a record, a good ERA, and they took him out in the second inning.
Order up.
nowhere to miss.
McCarthy deep center field. Kowser racing back. Kowser near the wall. Jumps. Kowser! He made the catch! He made the catch! It might be the greatest home run robbery, game-ending catch you'll see in your life.
You've got to be kidding me.
Unbelievable!
How about that one? Masson on the call of that one. Colton Krauser, center fielder for the O's. He did not overrun a single. He caught the game, what would have been the game-winning home run from Colorado. He robbed him with the final out. And the O's beat Colorado in the ninth.
What a cool way to end a game.
Not a cooler way to end
a
game.
Like, walk-off hits are always going to be cool. The walk-off home run, right? Yeah. Like, those are great moments. The robbing of a play to end the game, or, like, throwing a guy out at the plate the tying one of the winning run.
An insane catch.
And you think about where they're at in the standings, and they're right there in the thick of the wild card race. And every, like, you don't want to drop a game this time of year to the Colorado Rockies.
They're back
Rockies.
To 500 for the first time since April.
Maybe trading Adley was what they needed to do. He's been fine in Boston. It wasn't like he's been bad, but they
kind of worked out for everybody.
It's been a win-win.
They had
on both
a big-time catching prospect coming up, too.
Order up.
They get it to Yang Hansen. He's going to go up. Incredible. What an incredible finish. Well, all credit to Zhaoqi Wei for the pass, the catch for Yang, the finish.
Shout out, Zhaoqi Wei. FIBA World Cup Asia qualifiers. China beat Lebanon.
You keep doubting over there. You keep questioning Yang Hansen over there. Not me. Not me on this side of the line. I'm all in on Yang Hansen.
An incredible finish.
How many game winners is any
literally a layup
center,
for a 7-1 guy.
Yeah, it was not an easy thing to do.
It wasn't like a turnaround. It was the guy threw it perfectly. Nah. Yang Hansen catches it and he lays it up and China wins at the horn. He had 19 points.
Hey, against
nine
Lebanon.
Rebounds.
Let me ask you this. Quick follow-up. Quick follow-up.
Yeah.
Can you name anybody on Lebanon's team?
No.
Okay. I'm just checking. I didn't know if there was like an NBA guy that I'm not aware of that's playing.
Couldn't name anybody else on China's team.
No, I mean, neither could I. I'm just
Zhaoqi
asking.
Zhaoqi Yang. He's the guy that threw the pass.
That was a dime right there down low to the younger.
Follow-up question to your follow-up question.
Follow-up to the follow-up.
Me and my family play a game called Map Taps.
Yeah, can you tap Lebanon on a map?
Can you find Lebanon with no lines at all?
No, God, no.
I know the general area.
I know the vicinity.
I don't know what my points would be,
though.
Can
I circle a continent? Is that allowable? Because I could do that incorrectly. Tell you the continent, but other than that, no, I got nothing for you.
Order up.
You know, he's put in great work. He showed, you know, every attribute and everything that he wanted to be a Giant. He wanted to be it. He wanted to, you know, come back, and you know, he had unfinished business, and we talked all the time, you know, through the off season and, you know, summer about things that he wanted to accomplish, and this was one of the main things, was coming back, making a team. And you know, they didn't make it easy for him. You know, he earned everything he got. You know, he put great film on tape. I'm sure everybody's seen. He was a great leader. So, you know, good things get rewarded to good people, you know, for sure. And then, like I say, he's been a great leader. So, you know, to have him in there is, you know, is definitely a good choice.
That's Malik Nabers, who we don't know is going to be back week one. It's kind of a wait and see on that one. But that was him on OBJ making the Giants roster after the initial cuts. And what he's meant to him as a player.
Yeah, it's a fun sentimental story. My only advice to him would be, have you seen the videos of OBJ? It feels like a lot of Botox has gone into that face. His face kind of looks
OBJ?
Weird. Yeah, go pull up his press conference from the other day. His cheeks aren't really moving, and they look a little puffed up. And it's like, are we doing that? Is that what we're doing? But nonetheless, I think if you're a Giants fan, like, put yourself in that fandom. This would be pretty cool. Whenever you get a legendary guy from your franchise's history to come back and play for another year and to make the team organically, right? They didn't just hand him a spot. He had to go earn it in training camp, and they desperately needed another wide receiver because they had some injuries to certain guys in the slot. And so it's an exciting thing. I think if you're a Giants fan, they're a fascinating team this year, man. Like, the predictions on them all over the map. Harbaugh, you get a fix it, young quarterback, the CTE running back, and now you got OBJ back in the mix. It's going to be a fun team to watch this year.
Is that his nickname, the CTE running back?
It should be. Said it's not real, so.
We don't play music at practice. So if you want music, you're not going to play for me. So we get the kids who are worried about football and creating value for themselves. We don't do ice cream trucks. We don't do fun things. You know what's fun? That locker room right now is fun. You know what's fun? When these guys graduate and they get to walk across the state, that's fun. So, no, we're not the – and what I'm not saying that other programs that do that are not right. That's great. Oh. We have an opportunity for the next 6 months for some of these kids to change their life forever. So it is our job as coaches, adults, administrators, supporters to do everything we can.
That is Memphis head coach Charles Huff on Football Not About Fun at Memphis.
No fun, sir.
We
How
don't
much fun?
Do ice cream trucks.
No,
and music.
You know what's fun? Sacking Jackson
That's
Arnold
right.
late
yes.
in the game.
Getting yes. a W on the road.
I do like his, you know what's fun? Walking across the graduation. That's a cool line. Also, but if you're telling me no music.
You can't turn around and say this isn't a shot.
Yeah, you can't say it's not a shot. You're right. literally telling me it's ridiculous. Ridiculous that music would be played at practice.
It's like all the coaches at the press conferences yesterday that said, not to take a shot, but we expect our crowd to be full this weekend. It's like, oh yeah, I wonder who that could be in reference to. Any team in particular that played this weekend that didn't have anybody at their game? Of course you're taking a shot. It's okay to take shots. He's a hell of a character, dude. The scene after the game, him chest bumping his players and falling down on the field. The unfortunate part of that is you see that stuff, you see the win, you hear him talking, you're like, man, he ain't gonna be there very long.
What do you mean?
Where's he going next year? If they have a 10-win season this year, whose radar is he on? He's jumping ship.
You know what's fun? Staying in Memphis and dominating.
Yeah, right.
You know, they brought a court order against the conference. So there's no intent, nor there ever was, to play somebody that we're not supposed to in order of an SEC rule. So I think, again, I'm not the spokesperson. I think now you're waiting to see Thursday, you know, the SEC had a stance, made a rule. A judge felt that they couldn't do that to the players. So we'll be practicing, focused on Clemson, and spending our time on that all week.
There's Lane Kiffin on the SEC versus the LSU stuff, where the SEC doesn't want football NFL players to play. LSU has a few coming in. He says they're not going to break rules and make this happen.
This is a very interesting one. I'm so tired of this, and I'm just tired of Lane Kiffin and LSU always having to push the envelope of, like, can we just play football, man? Can we just not do something controversial for 1 week? And you got Clemson this weekend. I'm excited to watch the game and see how your team looks. You're putting this huge distraction. There's reports from Ross Dellinger. Now, none of this is actually going to probably happen, that SEC teams are so pissed because now there's a court order saying the SEC cannot ban these guys from playing, that the SEC schools are contemplating coming together and just not playing LSU in different sports and trying to expel them from the conference, saying, we'll be fine without you. We don't need you. Is any of that going to happen? No, it's just bluster, and it's threatening to try and scare LSU out of doing this. I am so sick and tired of LSU, and God, I hope they lose on Saturday night to Clemson.
Order up. Last year, defensively, they just didn't have the horses. This year, they do. Overshown had put on some weight when I was there. He looked great. Jayshon Barham was awesome when I was out there watching them. He's played great in that last preseason game. You got a chance to see him as an off-the-ball linebacker. You have Downs. You know, Malachi Lawrence, just be a little patient there. There's a little more development to take place. But they are so much better. And then Christian Parker's outstanding, you know, as a defensive mind who comes over to call the defense from the Eagles. This is legit. I went and saw this with my own eyes. We're not trying to pump anything up here. Like, this is legit a good defense to go along with what could be the best offense in football.
There's Daniel Jeremiah jumping on the dirt train. Cowboys not underrated.
Swigard, you went on? You went on this Super Bowl train? You want to come do this Super Bowl shuffle?
He jumped off.
No. Jera, find a way to screw it up.
Okay. All right.
How's Jera going to screw it up at this point? He's not coaching.
Yeah, the team is set. What's he going to do? The team's the team. You got the coaches, the players.
You know, I was there. He'll find a way to screw it up.
Yeah, he just gave you 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah, no big deal.
No big deal. Keep hating Jera Jones.
NBD. How many other?
32 years ago.
How many other active owners have 3 Super Bowls?
Are you complaining about how long it's been? Ask Lion Fan.
His team's won back-to-back World Series. Yeah, he's complaining right. They're the Mariners and they've never been to a postseason before.
What am I doing?
Order up. From an offensive perspective, they're going to be some different than what we've done in the past. And Jalen's embraced it. He's excited about it. And obviously, we got to be better than we were last year. And that was really how the offseason started. It started with led by Coach Sirianni and saying where we were in points scored, where we were in offense wasn't good enough. And so here we are starting the season looking to improve.
There's Harry Roseman in a press conference on Jalen Hurts in the Sean Mannion offense. Some hot takes out of WIP Sports Radio. If this offense struggles the first 2 weeks, they need to abandon Sean Mannion's offense and go back to what they know.
We're firing the OC 2 games in.
I mean, they're not firing him. They're just basically saying, don't use him. And I'm like, geez, things are all great in Philadelphia, aren't they?
This is the way it will always work. The offense has been an issue unless you have Saquon Barkley running for 2,000 yards and carrying you. And maybe Mannion will be the savior for that. I continue to question their ability to throw the football down the field and the consistency at which they can do it. Talk about years. I know he just won a Super Bowl 2 years ago, but in terms of guys who got a lot to prove and showcase that they belong consistently at this level, it's a big one for that offense, for that quarterback this year.
Order up!
Similar to, I think, the path that's been all along, he's progressing more and more and more and more. And so he's, you know, we'll kind of evaluate these next couple weeks. But I don't anticipate it being something where he's not, you know, when you do that, you're talking about 4 games if you were to start him there. So, you know, I don't see him obviously missing that many games. You know, he's just doing more and more, and to kind of leave it to the plan, leave it to what we're doing. But he's in a really good position.
There's new Ravens coach Jesse Minter on having Nnamdi Matabuke, BK, sorry, Mata BK. I have to say that name very slowly.
You got to slow that one down.
He's
that's
a beast.
That's a Hooked on Phonics name.
Yeah, he's an absolute beast. He got injured last year. He is not starting the season on IR.
Yeah, he's going to be an interesting coach to follow this year, too. When I hear the voice, because I didn't look at the clip when you were playing it, I'm like, who is that? Who-wee.
There's a few voices in
you're
some
have
of these
to learn,
clips. You're
right?
Like, who is that?
You're so – I mean, Harbaugh's been there for so long. Having a new coach of the Ravens is just kind of a weird one.
I'll play one more. Last one here on the cafe. I'm going to play it.
Okay, don't look.
Don't look.
I won't look.
Can you name the voice?
Order up!
And now, even in year two of our system, you may look to do too many different things. And when Trevor keeps it simple, goes through a read, and then, hey, man, he doesn't like it. He has the opportunity in athleticism to use his legs as a weapon. It's something that we benefited greatly from last season, especially in the red zone. And just continuing to urge him to be himself, to go be the quarterback that you are while using your arm as a weapon. But don't forget about using your legs. And that's such a huge advantage. I thought we saw a really great version of him towards the back end of the year as he got more comfortable. And we've got some playmakers that he can get the ball to in space. And we protect him. Good things can happen.
Did you know who it was before he said Trevor?
I did not know. Yeah. As he would have gone on, I might have been able to guess it, but I don't know. I don't know a lot about Leon Cohen's voice other than Duval.
Yeah.
And of all the teams who are making the argument like nobody's giving us a chance this year, Jacksonville definitely has the strongest argument.
Well, they have two London games.
They've
given up a home. You know they have six? Hold on. I want you to pretend this is your team.
Okay. I'm a Jags fan.
You waited all year for the season to come back. Six home games.
That's all you got this year. Good luck to season ticket holders.
What are you doing?
Fly over to London. I'll watch.
What are
game.
You doing?
No big
Aren't
deal.
They Six? Playing in Orlando this year? Aren't they renovating their stadium? Or
they're
is that
building
all done?
A new one. I thought they're building an entirely
are
new
Are they
one.
Not playing in Jacksonville?
They were.
Why are they in Jacksonville? Leave. You don't want to be there. You want to go to London? You're in Orlando? What are you doing?
They're building. I know they're building a new stadium. I don't know if it's on the same site, if they knocked the other one down. I assume they were just going to play in that stadium and then build their new one.
You know, if Jacksonville can have a team, Portland, Oregon, USA could have a team.
Without a doubt.
Where's
dude?
The Gridiron Project?
Put a hot tub in our stadium. They
can
got
we
a pool,
dump
we got a hot
the
tub.
Portland Diamond thing and become the Gridiron thing?
Yeah, let's pivot,
please.
Guys. Let's pivot to get the NFL. It's king. It's not
Makes
going
money.
Anywhere. It's dominant. Okay, there's no questions about will we sell out or not. But
doing?
Remember Doug Peterson in year one with Trevor Lawrence, they had success. They got to the playoffs. They came back against the Chargers, and everybody thought, oh, here we go. And then the next couple of years were a disaster for them. So an interesting
now,
couple
I guess
of years ahead.
Says they're playing in Jacksonville. So I thought I read, though, at some point they were going to play.
Be dope they played at Disney World.
That'd be kind of cool.
Play at Epcot.
The old Citrus Bowl there.
Play where Harry Potter used to, what's
the Quidditch?
The Quidditch
field.
Play Quidditch.
Get them on the Quidditch pitch.
The golden snitch.
You
got to
catch the snitch. Yeah, there'll be a snitch around the game at all times.
How do you not know who Chris Evans is, but you know all the details? Have you read the Harry Potter books?
You don't know who Chris Evans is?
I don't know who plays I know who Chris Evans is. I don't know who plays the comic book. I don't know. Superhero stuff.
Right over the head. That's the gold snitch, baby.
That's the sound effect right there.
All right, there we go. Cafe Day, Dirt and Spray. We do it every day at 7. Let's stick in college football, and we'll listen to Jamarcus Shepherd. He'll be on the show on Thursday. Went through some stuff yesterday. Got some audio from Washington State. We got some Husky audio as well, and we got Dan Lanning audio. A lot of college football audio coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Coming up at 8 a.m. today, we talked with Steve Hellwagon of BuckNuts.com. Did we pull the beginning, his first couple words to us, Swag? We need to get that as a drop.
I will go. I got to get the right feed in order to pull it, so we don't have technical issues with the audio in the background.
We had audio in the background?
No,
that made no sense. You know what that was?
There you go.
Your helmet does that yeah. Whoosh thing. That's me right now. No idea what you just said.
Right over my head.
But he was good. He had shot at Texas A&M off the start and then basically said Oregon's pretty amazing.
Pretty good little football team.
Spencer Danielson, you know the best team in the country is.
Hey, get that rat poison out of here.
Oregon.
I don't want any of that rat poison in here. You get that nonsense out of this room, all right? Nobody's giving us a chance this year.
Nobody's giving you a chance.
Nobody's picking us to do anything.
Except a lot of people giving you a chance.
Everybody's picking Notre Dame, seeing a lot of Texas picks.
A lot of people. You mean you.
Indiana, Ohio State, okay. Everybody, Miami. Yeah,
we'll see who you pick when the playoffs are here, bud.
Yeah, not my team.
We'll
win a big game.
We'll talk college football with Bill Conley coming up at 8 a.m. Let's dive into a little bit of college football coaching audio. We got coaches audio. You pulled some coaches.
It's Monday night press conference night, man, or press conference afternoon, depending on how your program does it. I always enjoy seeing the timestamps of these and listening to how short or long-winded coaches are. Spencer Danielson, very long-winded.
Oh, is he?
He went for like 38 minutes yesterday, and I'm like, okay.
Well, that's
I think
long-winded.
Lanning's was tight, concise, about 10-11 minutes.
We're sometimes like, right, that's the amount of questions you get. He's a long-winded answer.
About 2 minutes per answer.
That's what I don't like is a long-winded answer.
Yeah, he gave you his thoughts. If you're into it, that's your thing. But not everybody's quite that long-winded.
Let's start with Jamarcus Shepherd. Oregon State gets ready for Houston this weekend. 9 a.m. ESPN game. Right? ESPN?
Yes, you were correct.
I got their tech game in my head for a second. There was CBS.
That's a night game, right? Week two? Is that a night game, week two for them?
I think it's like 4:30.
Oh, like a prime time?
4:30, somewhere around there.
4:30 CBS
Perfect.
Game. Anyways, they're 20.5-point underdogs going to Houston. Famously, they should have beaten Houston last year.
Yep.
Completely choked the game away, which is basically the story of their entire season. It's like 5 wins that they lost out on.
Mm-hmm.
I had forgotten, shout out James Crepy in Oregon Live, I had forgotten Trent Walker transferred to Houston.
I had no, until I was watching the press conference yesterday and he was asked a question about going against a former teammate and the emotions that go into that. I'm like, oh, that's right.
Nice little throwback. Hey, we got a revenge game already with Trent Walker and the Houston Cougars, 20.5-point favorites. Shepherd, who will be on the program Thursday at 7, talked about last year's game and how it all broke down and going into this year's game.
They had six games last year that were one score games, and they won five of those six games. And so obviously the one here in Reser went to double overtime. And for the most part, you know, the Beavs handled it all the way pretty much until the last two or three drives of the game. And that's what I see from Coach Fritz, is his teams are going to fight all the way to the end as well. And so, like I said, we got to be ready for a heavyweight 12-round bout. And I can tell you what, I'm ready. So our players take their cues from me, so they'll be ready.
Willie Fritz, overrated. Jamarcus Shepherd on Houston.
Pew, 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 pew. Bring it on, Willie Fritz.
Actually had that thought the entire game last year when they were getting blown out almost by
That was
Oregon
the epitome
State.
Of a irrelevant team having a terrible year, a ranked Houston team showing up, be like, dude, we're going to
It was a night game,
we're
too.
We're going to cakewalk these guys. There's 15 people in the stands, and all of a sudden you look up and you're like, whoa, we're down by 20 points. What the hell happened here, man?
He had a great cut, too, on how like ridiculous putting point spreads and rankings is. It's like nobody knows anything about these teams. You don't know how they're going
to
gel.
No idea, man. Like, go back to what we were saying a year ago today.
Yeah.
Oregon State was getting ready to play Cal at home.
With
a true freshman making his debut, and we all thought, man, Beav's got this one in the bag.
Yep.
You're playing a freshman quarterback. Cal was disappointing last year.
Year two, Trent Bray loading.
Yes.
We're gonna win.
And then they got lit up like a Christmas tree by a kid that nobody had really ever heard of before, unless you follow recruiting.
Side tangent. Fritz, that should be on the name for the
Fritz Johnson. What are we going? Franz Johnson? Johnson?
Fritz is a nickname. It's not an actual
name.
You didn't grow up with a Fritz.
There was no Fritz
in
Lake Oswego.
We had a Fritz at the Hops, little 7-year-old Fritz who got to say play ball before the
His actual first name
yes.
is Fritz?
That's,
like legally speaking on the document
yes.
or
You're
just what they call
him. Such an elite nickname that's his name, but nobody actually knows his real name is Ronald.
Fritz Johnson.
Ronald DeFritz. That's a hell of a
I'm just saying that's usually what it is. There's like such a cool nickname that's what they go by, but the real name is not quite that same level.
I don't think Fritz is going to happen. I'll fly that one up the flagpole. I think that one will get shot down pretty quickly.
Is there a leader in the clubhouse?
Wyatt's the leader in the clubhouse. It's probably going to be Wyatt.
Huh?
Yeah, it's probably going to be Wyatt. I'm not putting up too much of a fight. I'm worried about the overpopulation of the name. But also,
it's
like,
definitely going to be a trendy
Portland
the
Weird
name.
Science soundtrack playing in the birthing room.
I also like the name, so I'm not.
It's a great name.
I don't hate it. She's starting to buy stuff with the name on it, so it's kind of settled.
She's buying stuff.
I mean, things are arriving.
It's over.
Hey, no.
There is no.
I get the last say.
We think. No, it's over. That's
Here's
the situation.
We think.
No, there is no. We think.
We think. We think there might be some wiggle room here.
Swag. If your lady,
if she's buying throw pillows for the nursery with Wyatt on it, it's over.
How are you naming him Calvin? You know what I mean? Like,
you guys
why would
shut
this?
Up over there? Right?
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, Pete.
I thought you liked the name.
I mean, I do. I'm just kidding. I'm also letting it happen to a certain extent because I want control over the middle name. Like, that's my bargaining chip. I want the middle name selection process.
It was your first name.
I don't say this publicly. She's not listening right
Is
now.
Is she
hopefully.
Giving birth or are you giving birth?
Hey, look, we're in this together, okay? We're pregnant. I put on a lot of weight over the last couple of months, man.
Have you?
I'm pregnant eating over here. There's ice cream and cookies everywhere. What do you want from me?
Why do you want the middle name so bad?
Because I want a family. I want Milton as the middle name, and she desperately does not want
Milton the family name?
Milton's the family name. It was my grandfather's name.
What about Teddy?
Teddy has no association. We were both on board with Teddy. And to be fair,
No, the middle name.
Alan. Both my dad and her dad have the same middle name, and it's Alan.
So you're going to get twice the middle name?
It's her dad's middle name, too.
But it's also
it's a
your
double,
dad's name.
We're making everybody happy. Everybody's happy here.
Well, you know, that's fine.
Steve Hellwagon is one of my favorites.
Well, you know.
I'm fascinated by your selfishness with names.
Look, that's one. That's a hill that I'm going to die on. I'm probably going to end up losing it, but I'm going to fight that battle all the way until they hand you the birth certificate in the hospital and you got to fill it out. You got to write down what the name
the
is.
The Mariners are still in the playoffs.
They're still alive. There's still a chance.
So there's Shepherd on last year's game versus going into this year's. Also, new starting quarterback for Oregon State with Braden Atkinson getting ready to go on the road Is it a hostile environment in Houston? Do they care about the Cougars?
I don't know if hostile is the word.
I'm more worried about the heat and humidity in Houston than maybe the fans.
What's
and
the weather on Saturday?
Well, we've had heat and humidity.
Or do they
here.
Play? Do they play now in the Texan Stadium?
No,
or
they have their own stadium.
They have their own.
No, they have their own outdoor venue.
They do. It's actually not a bad stadium.
Piece of crap. Here's Marcus Shepard on Atkinson getting ready for it's game week. Come on,
come on from me.
Scattered
heat storms. Funny. I mean, Braden seems to be pretty consistent in how he has approached the competition for the quarterback position. And then now, being the actual quarterback, he's a gym rat. He's a football junkie. He loves the game. He's up in the office right now on an off day, trying to spend more time with our quarterback coaches and with our staff to find more information along the way. So he hasn't changed who he is at all, and that's what you want out of your quarterback. It's funny, you know, some of the pressure has kind of been taken off of the other two, and they've performed really well this week as well. And so, honestly, our quarterback room is trending in the right direction right now all across the board, so that we're going to be prepared no matter what happens.
It was a funny hedge at the end of that answer.
That does not leave me the most confident that you're telling me the backups are actually performing well now, and Atkinson not so much. Hey, so the whole room is collectively ready.
The whole room's playing great. Maybe the whole room's going to be fantastic this year. It is a unique thing.
I have it over 2.5 quarterbacks playing for Oregon State this season.
Yeah, it is a unique thing about their opener of just like, this is a cat that we've never seen before. I mean, unless you went back and watched highlights from last year, that's about it. Nobody, I would doubt
Mercer
any
Beaver played
fan.
Auburn, right? Wasn't
they did.
That the game that
you go find the
Dahlin
SEC Network,
him?
I guess. Yeah, that was the highlights that they saw, and they thought he played well in that game on the road against an SEC team, and so that led them to want to recruit him. They made him a point of emphasis in the offseason, and now we get to see him go on the road. Not, to your point, not the most hostile environment, but a challenging environment. Like, Houston's a good team this year. You're not playing a national title contender. Texas Tech will probably be a little more formidable at the line of scrimmage next week.
But top half of the Big 12
yeah,
is the projection,
man, like,
for them.
They're going to be a good team. And yeah. So you got your hands full, and I'm excited to see how the young quarterback handles it. Like, it's just funny to think how much different the messaging and the thought process around that team could be a week from now. Like, again, go back to last year, and we thought, oh, Oregon State, Cal, this would be a cakewalk. Wasn't a cakewalk, and all of a sudden you're doing a big gulp of like, uh-oh, where's this year going to go? What if this cat comes out and plays well? What if he throws for 285 and three tuds and no picks? Maybe you don't win the game, but you're competitive, right? Like, you could have a totally different feeling next week, depending on how this kid plays.
I want to carry over something about Oregon State as they get ready for their first season under Jamarcus Shepard. They head to Houston. It's a 9 a.m. Pacific kick, and so they're going in as big underdogs. We can talk about the season for them the way we talked about Oregon. We'll do that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then. But Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $250 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, two poll questions are up. We'll have Bill Conley coming up at 8. We'll hear from Dan Lanning today. Also, Jed Fish and the Washington State coach.
What's his name?
Bobby Moore.
No, Ahmad Rashad.
My main man, Bobby Moore.
Ahmad Rashad is not.
Kirby Moore.
He's also not related to Kellen, although it'd be kind of funny if they were. Him, Kellen, and Kirby.
I thought Kellen was his brother.
Kellen and Kirby are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say Bobby Moore is not related to
no,
them.
No, yeah, no.
Brother from a different mother.
Sure. Two poll questions are up. What will age better between these two things, the dirty pole or the G-spot?
Mm.
You can vote at Dirt and Sprague there.
Could be out of context for a lot of people, but that's okay. Go vote anyways.
The dirty pole is winning. And the second one, if your wife buys baby stuff with a specific name on it, is that officially the baby's name, yes or no? It's a 50-50 split.
Hey, it could go either way. It could go either way at this point.
I don't know how you do that, but all right. If you don't want to give it that name, but it has named stuff all over it.
Most detrimental to the dirty pole, like the G-spot got off to a rough start in week one. That happens. A lot of G teams playing in week zero. Ole Miss losing to Louisville. That is a kick to the nuts of the dirty pool if that happens.
It's not great when it happens.
No.
So we played some Jamarcus Shepherd cuts. They go on the road to Houston. Again, he'll be on the show Thursday at 7. Just want to reiterate that. We talked about Oregon and what you're looking forward to and what are expectations, and their over-under in Corvallis is not good. I have personal bets with people about how many wins they'll get.
Mm.
There's a lot of buzz about... maybe this thing is not up to par. Maybe this category is not going to be amazing. They're still sitting in a weird window of waiting for a couple former, you know, NFL guys to get their fifth-year eligibility.
He was asked about that yesterday and did not have a lot to provide because that's kind of out of his – like, that's in
well,
a
it's
athletic
out of the
department.
And, control yeah. because the ruling on that is not set to happen until September 11th.
Right.
So we don't know if those kids, I think Van Wells is one of them, who is going to file an injunction to basically temporarily block any ruling until
right.
so they can be eligible to play. So their offensive line is a little bit in limbo of who's going to start, who's not.
And the guys are practicing right now. They're allowed to practice, so you just don't know if they're allowed to play in games yet.
So some guys that are playing, or they're going to play guard, might have to play center because their center may or may not be able to play. There's just, what are we to think of Oregon State? They're about to kick off their season. They go to Houston this weekend.
I have no idea what to think, and that's kind of fun for me. Now, it might be alarming if you're on the fan side of it, and I don't blame you at all for having that feeling, right? It's just there are so many new faces. There are so many new coaches. There is so much change and overhaul from where they were a year ago to where they are now. And that's the one exciting thing, at least for me this time of year going into the season, is I have no idea what to expect. Am I thinking they're going to win 9 games this year? No, I'm not going to pick it.
Mm-hmm.
I also look at their schedule and I think outside of Houston, Texas Tech, and Boise State, if they are a serviceable football team this year, they could have a puncher's chance in a lot of those games. The schedule is very manageable outside of those 3 games. And so do they come out with a good performance and kind of maybe cover the spread and keep it close going into the third quarter? I think that gives Oregon State fan a lot of hope. The worst thing that can happen this weekend is you show up on the road, it's a 9 a.m. game, your quarterback looks in over his head, he's turning the ball over. There's some miscues kind of similar to what you saw last year where maybe a special teams blunder or a bad snap or a turnover, something that's correctable that you should be able to clean up, that dooms you in and you end up getting boat raced in the game. Then maybe you're back mentally to the place where you were of, oh, God, this is going to be a long, dark year. But at least as of now, I think the beauty of it is none of us have any clue how this is going to gel together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality for a lot of college programs when you have coaching changes and roster overhaul the way that we have now in the sport. It's an entirely new team, essentially, with how many – like, what percentage of their roster is new faces? I know it's not 100%, but it's relatively high in a lot of their key guys. Trent Walker, you mentioned, he's now at Houston, so guys have left. It's a whole new coaching staff,
mm-hmm.
new schemes on both sides of the ball. I have no idea what to expect. I'm just looking for a competitive football team that does not do stupid stuff at the dumbest possible times and doesn't roll over and die. Like, that, to me, was a bit of the issue I had with Bray at moments when games would get lopsided. They just seemed to kind of quit and pack it in like, all right, this game's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see that. And I know Shepherd talked about that a lot yesterday.
Well, I think it's possible, too. If you get blown out, it's not necessarily a rollover or a die. It's just we're not quite there yet. That can also be an instance. I'll tell you, for all the questions we have in every area of the team, the one thing I would venture to guess that I can speak for the entire fan base on, you cannot in this game have a bad special team snap.
No, gotta be
clean. It's literally the only thing I need you to not do in the game. You throw an interception, yeah, that's fine.
Young quarterback.
Pick six, not great. You fumble, not perfect. You don't get the run game going. You know, all of these things can be bad and happen, and you go, tough. First game, good opponent on the road.
Yeah.
You cannot come out, new regime, new era, and have not any good snaps on special teams.
You can't be 8 feet over the quarterback or the punter's head.
It's the only mandate as a fan base we should have collectively is...
Yeah, that's not allowable.
That's
not
the non-negotiable item.
Only
anything
non-negotiable.
Else, I can understand it. But not being able to execute a punt,
well, I think the hard thing for the fan base and football fans in general is going to be... This is one of your really tough games.
Yep.
And it's not an expectation to win. It's not necessarily an expectation to, hey, take it deep into the fourth quarter.
Cover the number.
It's going to be a really tough one if they go on the road and we go into the half. They're down the number, which is 20 and a half.
Right.
And then it's third quarter and they're down 30. It's going to be really hard to feel any optimism about your season, even though Houston is better than fill in the blank X amount of teams on your schedule.
Yeah.
You just don't want to start the season that way.
No, and I think the tough part with that, I'm with you in agreement because of the way last year went, that would make you go to a place mentally where you're pretty alarmed at which direction this is going to go.
Yes, exactly.
You can also make the argument on the other side of it, a couple things. One, right now, on paper, I would argue your two toughest games of the year are your first two games of the season. Yeah. Now, we'll wait and see on Boise. Maybe they're feisty in Eugene this weekend. Maybe Houston underwhelms, right? Like, time will tell on that. But I do feel like right now your two toughest games are their first two games of the season. And I think one of the hardest things that we have in football as fans is not reaching or containing ourselves from reaching conclusions after seeing our team for the first time.
Well, it's only once a week. That's why we reach conclusions.
You have this
stuff.
Huge buildup. You're excited for your team to be back. The roster's 75% new, and if you come out and get drilled, there will be takeaways next week of like, this team's terrible, they're going to win one game, and oh my God, the sky is falling. And I just want to remind people that that's not always the case. We've seen teams do opposite things, right? Oregon State in year one under Bray got off to a great start the first five games of the year, and then where'd their year go from there?
Mm-hmm.
It went into the side of a mountain. I remember the Stanford year where they went on the road and lost to Northwestern in their first game?
Yeah.
They couldn't complete a pass. They ended up winning the conference.
That was the Rose Bowl year,
and going to
it?
The Rose Bowl and dominating Iowa. My team 2 years ago damn near lost to Idaho in the first week of the season and then went 13-0 and won a Big Ten title game before getting drilled by Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. So it's a good reminder for everybody involved. This isn't just an Oregon State thing of like, enjoy the games this weekend, appreciate what you see, but also that team is not the team they're going to be in week 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Right.
Not that it can't be, not that they are guaranteed to get better if that does happen, but it's the idea of like, you got to give them some room to grow, man. It's a young roster. It's a lot of new faces. Let's see how this thing gels together as the season goes on.
Let me ask you this before we go to Bill Conley. How patient should they be as a staff with Atkinson? This might be a game for me. Now, look, if it's 45-3,
yeah,
right? Like, if it, even if they're losing within reason, this is a game for me personally. I don't want to see him get yanked.
Just get a minute, now, as many reps as you possibly can.
If he throws four picks in his first eight passes, I mean, there's only so much you can do.
You go full Nathan Peterman, there's a bit of a problem there.
But if it's not those instances, I'd like to see him be...
I agree with you.
Not panicked like, oh, I'm going to get yanked. Like, the way he teed that up there is almost makes me feel like if you're getting so blown out, we're going to be rotating this thing out. And I'd like to see them just be a little patient because it's a higher level up for him. It's a road game against a tough opponent. And I just don't want to play the musical chair quarterback thing. I don't have any desire as a fan to watch that and don't think that's a good recipe anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would not want him out of the game unless it's just an epic disaster, right? From start to finish, and you're like, this is going to end horribly. We need to get him out of there to protect himself at this point. I also don't read too much into coach comments about especially that position, because it's unique, right? Like, if you don't start somewhere else, you lose a starting battle at corner, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what you're going to do the rest of, you're still going to play. You're going to get in on some snaps. You're going to play special teams. Like, you're going to be on the field. I think coaches are very guarded with the way they talk about that position. They want to keep everybody happy. You never know when an injury is going to happen, and you want their confidence to be up. And so I don't read too much between the tea leaves of him saying the other guys are playing well. I think that's just a smart coach pumping his guys up, realizing they're probably pretty down in the dirt right now for not winning that quarterback job.
So we'll see what happens. What more on the Oregon State as the week goes on. But they kick off their season at Houston, 9 a.m. start. Let's talk some more college football with Bill Conley, ESPN, hour number 3 on a Mail Sack Tuesday on 105.1 The Fan.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.